I want you to be turning with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 32. We'll begin reading in verse number 24. Genesis 32 and 24. The Bible says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Praise the Lord. Would you raise your hands this way before you be seated and ask the Holy Ghost to help the preacher this morning? Father in heaven, I come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we need the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing, God, that settles upon a man and turns him into a prophet in the New Testament sense to speak your word, your message. God, give us that anointing this morning to preach. Father, reach every heart that this message is intended to. Oh, God, would you help us and anoint us? You know, God, our failures, our shortcomings. God, we can only go so far. God, then we must rely on the power of your Spirit. God, the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost that goes far beyond the reach of mere mortal man, that reaches, God, beyond the outward, beyond the flesh. God, that gets a hold of the heart of man. God, that Spirit of God that reaches down and explains to man the reason behind their trial, the reason behind their test. God, it's upon the power of the Holy Ghost we rely on right now. Give us that anointing, we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to preach this morning on what I want to call the bruise and the blessing. The bruise and the blessing. And you Bible readers understand that Jacob's name means heel catcher. It means supplanter. It means trickery. And all of Jacob's life, he has relied on his scheming. All of Jacob's life, he has relied on his supplanting and his trickery to get him things. And that's basically why we have Jacob where he is at in our scripture text. Jacob has come to the place where he is fixing to meet his brother Esau. And he realizes that it is his trickery and his scheming that has brought him to this place, and where now he is fearing his own life because he is going to meet Esau. And Esau, he feels like, is very upset with him. And he feels like possibly that Esau may even take his life. Because it was back in the day when Jacob had deceived his brother and received the blessing of the birthright. And it was then that Jacob used his scheming and his trickery and his supplanting to receive mere mortal blessings. And but Jacob finally comes to this place where Jacob realizes in his life, I need more than self-reliance. I need more than just depending upon my own self. I need the blessing of the Lord on my life. And I like the way the Bible puts it in the 24th verse here. And the Bible says, and Jacob was left alone. And one of the reasons I feel like Jacob secured a blessing here is Jacob took the time to get alone with God. And I'd like to ask you this. If you were to survey this past week and look at your prayer life, what is the average amount of time that you have spent before God this week? Is it enough to cast out demons? Is it enough to heal our sick? Is it enough to raise our dead? I want to tell you, I feel like we are losing it in our independent Pentecostal holiness churches because we are not taking the time to be alone with God in prayer. Listen, we've got time to go shopping. We've got time to go deer seasons at home. We've got time to go deer hunting. We've got time to go hunting and this and that. But we are losing it in the fact that our churches, we are not spending time before God. Amen. And praying and seeking God's face. You want to know why your convictions, amen, are being questioned even in this hour? I'll tell you the reason why. It's because we are failing in our prayer life. The reason you're doing things now that you would not have done several weeks and months ago is because we are failing God in getting along with God. Praise the Lord. We read in Exodus 24:2, the Bible says, "Then Moses alone shall come near to the Lord." Amen. It was when Moses was alone with God that God gave him the Ten Commandments. In Daniel chapter number 10 and verse number 8, the Bible said, "Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." It was when Daniel was alone with God that God was able to give him a vision of the end time that were to come. It was over there in the book of Matthew in chapter 14 and verse number 23. The Bible said, when Jesus had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I cherish my time alone with God. I do what the thing that I normally do in the mornings before I get up to go and start my daily routine of working and building there at the home place. I try to go by the house of the Lord. I live just a little bit away, and I try to go there and do my devotion during the morning hours, because I understand that when you put it off to the end of the day, there's a lot of times things come up during the day, and we push it off and push it off, and we seldom get it all in like we need to. But I like what the Bible said when it said that Jacob was left alone. Listen to what the Bible said. "And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." And I don't want to cross anybody's theological thinking here. And I know we sing about it in our hymnals of Jacob wrestling with the Lord. But you know, I read here where the Bible says that there wrestled a man with Jacob. The Bible does not necessarily say that Jacob wrestled with this man, but that there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Praise the Lord. And I feel like that... Amen. I don't want to cross your thinking here, but I feel like, you know, sometimes we say that Jacob was wrestling for a blessing. But I tend to think here, after reading and studying reading some commentaries, I tend to lean to the idea that when Jacob was left alone with God, and this messenger here that comes, it's not just mere flesh. It's not just a mere mortal individual that has come to wrestle with the Lord. It is what is called a theophany. Amen. It is Jesus appearing in the likeness of man. It is not the same thing as the incarnation, when Jesus appeared in flesh. But a theophany is when Jesus came and those men encountered him in the Old Testament as those that did, like Joshua did, and as the prophet, the man of God, seen the hinder part of the Lord. It was the theophany. He seen Jesus. He did not see God. But the Bible said that God here has come and begin to wrestle with Jacob. He has come to get a hold of Jacob. Listen to me, my friend. The reason God has came to wrestle with Jacob is there were things in Jacob's life. There was a thing in Jacob's life. Jacob had to get to the point in his experience experience where he come to the realization, I cannot get it by myself. I cannot rely on my own self. I cannot rely on my trickery. I cannot rely on my scheming. I cannot rely on my surplanting any longer. I've got to come to the place in God where I commit my ways unto the Lord, where I give my all to God. Listen, my friend, I want to tell you, I thank God for the wrestlings of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God in the last 15 years of my service to the Lord, I appreciate the wrestlings of the Lord. One man said that God is never at a loss to bring erring men to their senses. He arrested David by the look of Nathan the prophet in the parable. He arrested the prophet by a talking mule. He arrested Jonah by a storm in the well. He arrested Judas. He arrested Peter with one look, and his heart was smitten. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my experience with God that there were times that I had a tendency to leave the right path. And I'm not speaking of backsliding, but you know, sometimes our own will comes to the place where we want to do our will above God's will. And there were times, listen, I know I've testified about it when I first preached the first time here at Martinsville. But I remember just several years ago, about 2 years ago, Brother Powers, when I felt like I, amen, might have been leaning to my own self too much. Amen, when I was down in Georgia preaching, and I was in that revival, and we woke up that Saturday morning, went fishing, then went riding horses, and when I left that, amen, the cattle there, or that the pasture there, we went riding. I never knew that it would change my life forever. Amen. When we got in the accident with the horses, and you all, I don't know if you remember or not, but when I was kicked by the horse and put in the hospital, amen, you know what I feel like that was? The wrestlings of the Lord. Amen. The wrestling of the Lord. There's been times in my life I have felt the hand of God as I felt like I was straying, but the hand of God just came and kind of ease me back on the way. I thank God for the wrestling of the Lord. Job said, God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not, in a dream and a vision of the night. I want to tell you this, it's all to draw man from his own purpose, that man might come to the realization, I must resign it all and surrender to God. Amen. The Bible said, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. This is where I'd like to preach for a little while this morning. There's something here that happens to Jacob. Jacob all his life has stood in his own strength and in his own might. Jacob always stood, I'm a man, I don't need anybody else's help. I'm a man, I can do it by myself. But the Bible says that in one instant, this messenger stops the wrestling. He stops the contest. And he just takes his hand and touches the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And the wrestlings are over with. You understand that all it takes is a simple stroke from the hand of God. And he can break us. And bring us down. You see, Jacob here, the Bible says in this word, when it said there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. This wrestling, it denotes a stirring up of the dust. This was physical activity. This was him and this angelic being wrestling. And it was very active. It was very forceful. But here the Bible said, when the angel or when God touched the hollow of his thigh, amen, they rested from all of the wrestling. You see, the thigh of a man is the strength of a man. You cannot stand when your amen, when your thigh is gone. And when God touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, there was no more wrestling. There was no more contending. But listen to what he said. Amen. The angel said, "Let me go." I feel like right here at this point, there is no more wrestling. But from this point on, Jacob is clinging. Amen. To this messenger. Right now, Jacob realizes, amen, I am nothing in the sight and the power of Almighty God. There is no strength within me. Who can stand before the Lord? No one can stand before God. And when God swiftly stroked, amen, the hollow of his thigh, Jacob realizes right here, I've got to quit leaning on my own self. I've got to call out. And he begins to cling to God. You know what I'd like to see happen to some of us? We'd mount down off of our horse and realize, hey, I need God's help in my life. You see, he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Jacob realizes, I'm at the point where I need God. There's some of us here this morning, you've sought for the blessing, but it seems like you ended up with the bruise. You sought for God's blessing, but it seems like all you get is God's bruising. You say, brother, I try my best to live right. I try my best to live holiness. But it seems like it's trial after trial after trial. I want you to know God's bruising comes before God's blessing. I said God's bruising comes before God's blessing. You see, sometimes we get in our spiritual mindset that we can make it on our own. We don't need God's help to be successful in the Christian walk. But I want to tell you, God sends the bruising. He touches the hollow of your thigh. And through your trial, and through your experiences, God's intention is to bring us down to the realization that our dependence must be totally upon Him. You see, one of the principal designs of our gracious Heavenly Father in ordering our paths, in appointing our testings and our trials, it is to show us His love. Did not the Bible say in Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth? You see, I turn and I look, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord here this morning. And I look over there in the book of Job, and we read in the first chapters there. And the Bible talks about Job and how that God said that he was perfect and upright and feared God and eschewed evil. But you see, the Bible said over there in verse number 13, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's home. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse number 16 said, while he was yet
speaking, there came also another. Then verse number 17, while he was yet speaking, there came also another. Verse number 18 says, and while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine at their eldest brother's house. And on, time after time after time, it seems like the hand of God is smiting Job. Can Job understand it? No. Job has no idea why he is being bruised by the hand of God. He cannot explain the bruising of God. Amen. How do we explain the trials that come our way? How do we explain why we look for good and it seems evil is rendered upon us? I want to tell you this. There are times in our life we cannot trace the hand of God, but we must learn to trust the heart of God. I said we may not be able to trace Him, but we must understand and believe that all things work together for the good of them that love God and called according to His purpose. I want to tell you, we must understand in the trial, in the test, we must understand that God is good all the time.
Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, and Job fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We must learn to bless Him when He's giving. But we must also learn to bless Him when He's taking. There was a time in his life Job could not understand why God, why Lord. And I felt like I'm preaching to someone this morning that you have the same questions on why God, why this trial, why this test. Why so long of a trial? Why so hard of a test? Job said, I went to the front. I went forward. And I could not find God. He said, I went behind me. And I could not find God. I went to the left. And I went to the right. He went to the four cardinal points of the world. He said, but I could not find God. But I like what Job said. Job said, He knoweth the way that I take, and when I am tried, I shall come forth as pure gold. I know you don't understand this morning why the trial, why the test, but I want you to understand God's bruising always comes before God's blessing. I want you to know this, God desires to put you in a place where you are blessed. There is a difference from receiving a blessing and being blessed. From time to time we receive God's blessing. From time to time, God blesses us spiritually. God blesses us materially. God blesses us with this and that. But God's desire is to put you at a place that everything you do in your life, the hand of God is on you, and you are blessed. But before Jacob could get there, he had to be bruised by the hand of God. Through it all, Job said, my sorrow is turned into joy. That's what he said. In Job 41 and 22, he said, and sorrow is turned into joy.
In chapter number 42, verse number 10, the Bible said, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." Also, listen to this, the purpose of his pain. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came down to him all his brethren and all his sisters and all that they had been his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He was bruised, but in the end he was blessed. In verse 16, the Bible said, "After this lived Job." After this lived Job. Stand with me all over the building this morning. I'd like for Brother Kendall to come to the pen, if you will. After this lived Job. After what? After the bruising. After the trial. After the test. Job lived on. Job made it. I'd appreciate if every head would be bowed. Every eye would be closed this morning. No one looking around. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my life, my appointed time, will I wait till my change come. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, fret not because of him. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? He giveth power to the weak. Yea, even the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalms 30:5 says, "For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." You're here this morning. You've been waiting on a blessing. Seems like all you've gotten is a bruise. I'd like to tell you, wait on. Wait on. Until God gets you to the place that He wants you. Wait on. He's working in your life. I'd like to open this altar. I'm just going to give a general altar call. I want to open this altar for everyone that would. Let's come. Let's gather around this altar before we leave.